April 1985, Savitri, Book 3, Canto 2. Now we begin Savitri session of 18th April 1985, continuing Book 3, Canto 2.
After describing the overwhelming experience of Ashwapati with the absolute stillness at the gates of the transcendent, the poet observed that that's not the ultimate. It was only a step into eternity, a threshold into something greater still. He continues, an eye has opened upon timelessness. Infinity takes back the forms it gave. Ashwapati has had a glimpse of eternity, that is timelessness, and all the forms thrown out from the infinite have been, as it were, taken back, and they lose their sense of reality. And through God's darkness or His naked light, His million rays return into the sun. Mother once observed how the supramental sun strikes at the first instance as dark. And she explained that it is so dazzling that the sight just staggers and you see only darkness. That is what he says here. Through God's darkness or His naked light, His million rays return into the sun. The million rays that emanated from the sun have returned. And then he observes, there is a zero sign of the Supreme. There are so many signs that point to the Supreme, but there is opulence, infinity, innumerable, and so on. But here there is a zero sign of the Supreme, because the Supreme exceeds all that can be formulated. It is described as a zero. All that is experienced, all that is visible, is not adequate to contain what the Supreme signifies. Nature left nude and still uncovers God. When nature is denuded of the multiplicity of forms and creations, when it appears to stand still, then you discover God. true nature. But inner grandiose nothingness, all is there. In that impressive nothingness of nature, you will find that all is there within that apparent nothingness. When our strong garbs are torn away from us, when the powerful forms, formulations woven by nature around us are torn, the soul's ignorance is slain, but not the soul. What dies is the ignorance of the soul and not the soul itself. The zero covers an immortal face. Zero doesn't really stand for nothing. Zero doesn't signify emptiness. But there is the face of the immortal behind it. A high and black negation is not all. Negation, nirvana, however high, however black, is not everything. A huge extinction is not God's last word. It may be one of the words, but not the ultimate. Yes, he says, life's ultimate sense, the close of being course. Extinction is not the ultimate sense. Extinction is not the close of the course of the being. The meaning of this great mysterious world. Our world has a meaning and a significance and a purpose. And that meaning is not extinction of the world, nirvana of the world. And this is a favorite idea of mother. In absolute silence sleeps an absolute power. Power need not be always agitated, articulate, excited. It can be very silent. It can be self-contained. In absolute silence sleeps an absolute power. When that power is struck awake, awaking, it can wake the trance-bound soul. The soul which is lost in its own trance, this power can strike it awake, and 1 hour later, and in the ray reveal the parent sun. This power, when it is awakened, it can reveal to you in a single ray of light the parent sun, the source of the ray. It can make the world a vessel of spirit's force. It can fashion in the clay God's perfect shape. Clay stands here for matter. Even in absolute matter, God can be shaped. not any way, but a perfect shape can be assumed by God in clay, in concrete matter, to free the self is but one radiant pace. To free yourself, to liberate the self, is but one radiant step. Maybe it is a radiant step, but it is only one step. That's not the last step, because here to fulfill himself was God's desire. When they speak of God's desire, always you must remember that it refers to God's will. Even in the Upanishads speak, Saha Akamayat, he desired, may I be many, Bahusyam. God cannot have desire, it is a will, a creative will. So God has that will to fulfill himself, to manifest his glory on earth. Certainly he has not done all this so that you may extinguish yourself when you reach that height of evolution. After describing what has happened, he continues, even while he stood on being's naked edge, because the being looked like dissolving itself, because the form is very supple, about to dissolve. Even while he stood on being's naked edge, and all the passion and seeking of his soul faced their extinction in some featureless vast, all the passion with which he was seeking, all his intense seeking looked like being extinguished in some vast which has no features, which cannot be described at that time, on the verge of self-extinction. The presence he yearned for suddenly drew close. Something drew close to him, and that was the presence for which he yearned and yearned all along. Across the silence of the ultimate calm, out of a marvelous transcendent score. Transcendent is what is beyond, the last term that you can experience and define. Now, out of the center, the secret core of that marvelous transcendent reality, a body of wonder and translucency. Translucent. What transmits light without being transparent? A body of wonder and translucency, as if a sweet, mystic summary of herself. As if what is seen, what is felt as a presence, is a mystic, some mystic, unanalyzable summation of herself, exuding sweetness, escaping into the original bliss, had come enlarged out of eternity. This body seems to have come enlarged out of eternity. Someone he cannot yet fix. Someone came, infinite, and absolute, a being of wisdom, power and delight. Even as a mother draws her child to her arms, took to her breast, nature and world and soul. This presence which he feels, this body of wonder which he aspires, this being of wisdom, power and delight, embraces, takes to her breast all that is manifest, nature, world and soul. All the three terms of manifestation, man, world and nature. She takes it to her breast, abolishing the signless emptiness, the featureless emptiness which reigned till now. That is abolished, breaking the vacancy and voiceless hush. There was that dumb, mute hush which is now broken. That sense of vacancy, emptiness is no longer there, piercing the limitless, unknowable, into the liberty of the motionless depths, a beautiful and felicitous luster stored. This is the main sentence. A beautiful and felicitous, making quietly happy, luster, light, stole, gently came. And as it came, abolishing the signless emptiness, piercing the limitless unknowable, into the liberty of the motionless depths, a beautiful and felicitous luster stole. And that luster imaged itself, took the form of a surprising beam of light, and built a golden passage to his heart. That beam of light comes and touches his heart, building a golden passage between the transcendence and himself, touching through him. It is using him to touch all longing sentient things. Longing, all things, transient things though they were aspiring. They were longing for this presence, for this being of light. And in touching his heart, it touches through him all longing sentient things. This is how, through one man's aspiration, the world can be saved, as Sri Aurobindo notes somewhere further in Savitri. One man's aspiration can still save the world. A moment's sweetness of the all beautiful. It was so beautiful, so sweet, that even that experience for a moment cancelled the vanity of the cosmic world. This cosmos always thinks that it is so important. Its movement is important. World. Now that vanity, false claim, has been cancelled, it has vanished in that single moment's experience of the sweetness of the all beautiful. In nature, and at that time, nature which you are apt to dismiss as insentient, inanimate, he says, a nature throbbing with a heart divine was felt in the unconscious universe. Even in this unconscious universe, nature was felt, experienced, throbbing with a divine heart. That nature is only a guise of a divine heart. It made the breath a happy mystery. The life breath, it gave it a special meaning which could not be analyzed, rationalized. That's why he says a happy mystery. It is a mystery, but a happy mystery, not a baffling mystery. And brought a love sustaining pain with joy. It brought into this nature a love which made joy bearable, made pain bearable with the joy that it brought. A love that bore the cross of pain with joy. It brought a love that makes it possible to bear with joy the cross of pain, a distant allusion to the cross borne by Jesus. Eudaimonized the sorrow of the world. Eudaimonized means there is a philosophy saying, justifying ethics, morality, good behavior, because ultimately it will bring happiness. So the sorrow of the world is justified, is sanctioned, because ultimately it will bring some happiness. So this approach is called eudaimonizing. Eudaimonize the sorrow of the world, made happy the weight of long unending time. For us in ignorance, time appears to be long, endless, and it oppresses us with its weight. But here, this, a moment's sweetness of that beautiful, made that weight of unending time something happy. The secret court of God's felicity. One could experience the secret truth of the felicity of God. Affirming in life a hidden ecstasy, it held the spirit to its miraculous course. There is a hidden mixed ecstasy in the world, but this moment sweetness of the all beautiful reaffirmed that ecstasy, though hidden in life. It held the spirit to its miraculous course. It directed the spirit in its movement towards its miraculous course. Course is a movement towards a certain end. Carrying immortal values to the hours, giving the sense of infinity, immortality to hours which die, it justified the labor of the suns, justified the cosmic labor of the many suns who shine incessantly on the different horizons. All this happened because, for one was there, supreme behind the God. God here is the creator, the creative, the manifesting Godhead. But behind him, behind that God, there was one somebody supreme behind that God, a mother might brooded upon the world, a mother power, a mother strength, a Shakti brooded, dwelt upon in itself, upon the world, not away from the world, but upon the world, a consciousness revealed its marvelous front, transcending all that is. Consciousness reveals its wonderful front appearance, transcending all that is, standing above everything, but mind you, denying none, accepting everything, and still beyonding it, imperishable above our fallen heads. His head is prostrate, prone, imperishable above our fallen heads, fallen at our feet. He felt a rapturous and unstumbling force. He felt that beauty, he felt that sweetness, he felt that might, and now he feels that unstumbling, irresistible, undeviating and rapturous, a force not fierce, not intolerable, intolerable, but rapturous. He felt a rapturous and unstumbling force. The undying truth appeared, the enduring power of all that here is made and then destroyed. All things in this world are made and then destroyed, and of them the is essential truth, the undying truth, the never ceasing power appeared, the mother of all Godheads and all strengths, who mediatrix binds the earth to the Supreme. That is this mother of all the gods and all the powers is the mediatrix standing in between the Supreme above and the earth below, and binding the earth to the Supreme. Because of her there is this unbreakable bond between the Supreme Divinity and Earth. The mother of all Godheads and all strengths, who mediatrix binds Earth to the Supreme.